Believe it or not, cancer is a thought. Believe it or not, cancer is a thought. This is Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campbell, California, with our thought for today. Believe it or not, cancer is a thought. I've worked with many people throughout my lifetime who have enjoyed cancer. And these people who have enjoyed cancer have been really happy about it. They've announced it to the world. They've announced to everyone that they have cancer. They've announced, because that's what thoughts need to do. Thoughts that are given no attention atrophy. They dry up and blow away. That's what cancer thoughts should do, dry up and blow away. But the reason that cancer thoughts have such a good time is that they're given so much attention. And being given so much attention, they just grow and multiply and grow and multiply because they're having a good time. They're really enjoying themselves because they're appreciated. Now, do you tell your body, I'm whole and well, I'm whole and well, I'm whole and perfect, you know, when you're whole and well and whole and perfect? The only thing you do with your body, you take it for granted. And so, basically, it is whole and well. But when some little irritation comes along, you let that drive you up the wall. You let that irritate you. You let that create in you a cancer. You create in you an attitude of anger, an attitude of mistrust, an attitude of being unhappy with yourself and the world. And you have a right to be that way. You have a right to be that way. No one can take that right away from you. No one can say, you can't be angry, you can't be unhappy, you can't be sad, you can't be pissed off at this and that and the other thing. No one can say that. No one wants to. When they hear you ranting and raving like that, they walk away. But you don't. You're angering in the middle of it. You're seething and foaming and getting all upset. And your cells get anxious. They say, my God, what's going to happen? A tidal wave? Are we going to have some terrible thing happen? And they all get upset. They lose their balance. And when they lose their balance, then some of them really do lose their balance. And they forget what their job is. Their job is to do specific things in your body. The body, the skin on your elbow is the skin on your elbow. The skin on your nose is the skin on your nose. It's the same skin, but it's doing a different job. You put the skin on your nose on your elbow, or the skin on your elbow on your nose, and they wouldn't quite be as harmonious in that location. What they would do, they would mutate to be whatever the skin on the nose should be or the skin on the elbow should be. Because skin can be put almost anywhere and it will express whatever area it's in pretty much. That's why doctors are not really too worried about where they take the skin from to use for a graft or something like that on the body when there's a fire and a person's been burned badly. But enough of this intellectual riffraff. We're dealing with a psychological principle here. We're dealing with a spiritual principle. We could go to the Bible and get dozens of references of this. And we say that we're Christians. We say that we're following the teachings of the Bible. We say that we believe in the New Testament and the Old Testament. We say we believe in the teachings of the Buddha and all these other great, wonderful teachers. And I don't say that. I say, we believe in the teachings of these various leaders and spiritual masters according to how they are universally applicable, how they're universally accepted, how they're universal. Because there's a lot of things that the Buddha is supposed to have said that I don't agree with. There's a lot of things that Jesus is supposed to have said that I don't agree with. There's a lot of things that my father said is supposed to have said that I don't agree with. And when I asked him about it later, I didn't say that. And there's an awful lot of things that you guys say that I never said. You hear it because you want that answer. You hear it because that is what you want. I say to you time and time again, I am here not for you to argue with or not for you to discuss with or not for you to think that you have an opinion in that relationship. I'm here just to give you suggestions and ideas and rules and orders that oftentimes are very irritating. Oftentimes they're very shaky up. We just spoke a few minutes ago about the heater in the swimming pool. And we said that the furnace operates on a thermostat. And you set the thermostat for whatever you want. If you know the thermostat to be faulty because it makes the room hotter than it is, well then find out what is the right setting for it to be and set it. But no discussion. And I said, do that. Set it so that the swimming pool room is 80 degrees because that is what it should be. We have the electric heaters working on the pool and the jacuzzi, and they are using far more current than our propane heaters use. And so if the room is kept warm, then the pools don't have to warm the rooms. But you've got the pools warming the rooms because you think that's a cool thing to do. And who am I to argue with you? I just tell you to do things. Now, we're going to go a step further here. Is God logical and reasonable?
No.
Then why do you expect me to be logical and reasonable when I'm teaching you to be your God self? Why do you want to discuss with me and argue with me what is right and what is wrong when I tell you to do something? Because you discuss it with me and you prove to me that you're right, and I'll say, sure, go for it. Because you've lost the lesson. You have just thrown the lesson right out the window. And I say to people who come here with cancer, I say, do as I suggest to you, and you will dispose of that cancer like that. You have to do it. Because the cancer's in your mind. It's in your body too, but it's in your mind. If you want to be a healthy and strong person, you go around saying, I'm a healthy and strong person, I'm a healthy and strong person, and then you act like it, you think like it, you live like it, you eat like it, you do all the things that encourage a healthy and strong body. But if you say, oh, I'm weak, I'm weak, I'm weak, oh, I can hardly stand up, and everybody says, oh, my, you must lay down. When are you planning on expiring? You know, I just like to be there to hold your hand when you're going, because you can tell me what the trip's like, you know, what you're experiencing. I don't care to do it myself. I got lots of good years ahead of me. You have too, but, you know, since you're going to die, you might as well tell me, you know. Just like I tell people right to their face, I say, man, you're cool. You're dying and you're going to let your wife go to some other beautiful person who's going to take all the credit for raising her to the fabulous lady she is today, you know. Actually, he didn't make her the fabulous lady. She made herself that, but it gets to him. It shakes his boat. And he decides, hey, I'm not going to give my wife away. No way, I'm going to be whole and perfect. Well, whatever motivation it takes to move him. I don't say whatever, but I say any reasonable motivation that moves him in there. Now, people come here and they have cancer and other maladies. And I say to them, now, number one, don't tell anybody else about it. Because if you tell other people about it, even our practitioners, then they have it in their mind and they have to get it out of their mind. And there's no sense in doing that. There's no sense in coming here and saying, you know, if I put a drop of ink in the water, it's going to make the water all black. Well, don't do it unless you want the black water. Maybe you want colored water, you know, but don't do it. And don't tell a little child that this is how you make colored water, because he's going to experiment. He's going to say, hey, that sounds interesting. Let's see how that works, you know. And if it works a little bit of ink, my, what it worked with a big bit of ink, you know. And we had our oil leaks from some of our tankers, which were an interesting thing. Isn't it interesting that at one period of time we had lots of oil leaks from tankers, and recently we haven't had any? How fascinating. It's all a matter of consciousness. It's all a matter of consciousness. And right now they're gearing up for the terrorists of the world, and this is just a money-making proposition, an economical thing. If they would gear up to love the world, to go out and just keep loving it, and not telling it how to live, but just love it, and let it live how it wishes. We went to Nigeria and Ghana, and we told the people there, hey, you got the greatest country in the world here. I don't live here because I think America is the greatest country in the world. That's where I live. But you live here and you want to stay here. And you think this is the greatest country in the world. So start telling your country how great it is. Start singing about it. Start talking about it. Start living it. But Every country seems to have a cancer about it, that the newspapers and television, the media and what have you, have to have something to talk about. So they grab the garbage of one little nothingness thing and they build it up into some gigantic situation so that it's a cancer that eats up the whole country. And I'm not saying any of this is right or any of this is wrong. Everyone has to act according to their own principle. But I do say that we are dealing with a principle here that can be applied in any area. And the principle is, shut up. Put it in your mind. Have it in your consciousness. Now, can you go to war when you're balanced? Can you go to war when you're at peace with yourself? Can you go to war when you're a lover? Yeah. When you're a lover and peaceful and balanced, you don't think war. You think peace. You think, hey, this is the time for fun and frolic. Well, what's wrong with fun and frolic? Nothing at all. We read about our dear friends Don Quixote and many others always out battling the invisible and having a ball, hurting nobody, just having a wonderful time. And our Don Juans who go around courting other people's wives, you know. Well, if the other people were any kind of lovers, their wife could never be drawn away. And their wife would never create having someone come and want to entice them away. And he, if he is a good husband, he will not create his wife wanting to have someone else entice her away, you know, because he's in charge. Do you doubt your wife? Oh, boy, you know it. She's a beauty. You know, I have to watch very closely what she does. Forget it. You have no marriage. You have a caretaker situation here, you know. And you're not having any fun. Or maybe the fun you're having is that your wife might be unfaithful to you. Well, start believing your wife is faithful. And you're, hey, are you faithful? If you're not faithful, then that's why you're thinking your wife's not faithful. Now, are you angry at people ever? Do you ever get angry at people because they do some stupid thing? If you do, then you're a candidate for cancer A1. And if that's what you want, you just keep up being angry. Because your anger is going to make your body all confused. Like our centipede story, you know. Tell him, how do you walk? He said, well, I walk. And he isn't able to walk. Because you walk by intuition. You walk by your inner self, by your inner drive. And this is the way our body is operated. The autonomic nervous system does a beautiful job with our body. And we get in there and try to tell it what to do. We try to tell it to be whole and perfect and so forth. And what do we mean by whole and perfect? Are we experiencing wholeness and perfect when we say our body is whole and perfect? Well, probably not. Oh, Herb, are you saying we shouldn't say our body is whole and perfect? Oh, I'm saying we should. I'm saying we should say it every moment of every day. But we should not only say it, we should believe it. And if there's any ache or pain that comes to our body, pay it no attention. Why would an ache and pain come to your body if you say, I'm whole and perfect, and act like you're whole and perfect? Why would that ever happen? Why would that ever happen? You know, you look at a lot of older people, and they're sort of crotchety, and they go around with their cane, you know. And I've talked to a number of them, and I'd say to them, come here. And if it's a girl, I grab her and straighten her up, straighten up her spine. Throw your shoulders back. I said, you're a good-looking person. My God, you're a good-looking person. It's wonderful to be around you. And as I say that, they straighten up. They forget their cane. They forget their crotchetiness. They forget that they're 80 or 90 years old, you know. Like Michael today, he came to tell us about our conditions here. And then he said, you know, Herb, my mother talks about you all the time. And she's 96, and she thinks you're just the greatest. She thinks you people out here are just the most wonderful people that she's ever known. And I said, well, bring her up. I said, bring her around to visit. We're always glad to have her. But you know why that lady goes on and on? She sees the goodness in life. She sees the happiness in life. She sees people who are wonderful and beautiful. And she sees everybody in the world as joyous. And she doesn't like to read the newspapers. She doesn't like to watch television. She doesn't like to do these things because all they do is put negative stuff in her mind. And you who know better, you are in a bar and you're having a meal in a restaurant and the television is on and you're looking up at the television there to see what's going on. Well, if you're so interested, get yourself a television set and look at it, you know. If you want to put that garbage in your mind, do a professional job of it, you know. Really put your wholehearted attention to it. But if that isn't what you want, now we're coming to some more stuff too. Now, if that isn't what you want, then don't pay attention to it. Don't watch the TV. Don't read the newspapers. Don't do that. And now, if you could be so smart and not watching the TV and newspapers and doing that sort of stuff, what about what goes into your mouth? What about the food that you eat? Do you look at every piece of food and call it good and very good? Do you say it's nourishing to my body and healthy for my body and filled with love? Do you say that? Oh, yes, we all say that. But do you mean it? You know, it's getting so that becomes a rote thing, too. This food is healthy for my body and filled with love. Yes, food is healthy for my body and filled with love. And do you ever play games with it? Do you ever have fun with it? Do you ever say, this food is healthy for my body and filled with love? Did you say your prayer? Did you say your prayer? You ask each other, who gives a damn whether anybody else said it? Did you say it? And did you mean it? And did you really believe that this food is healthy for your body and filled with love? Do you really believe it? You know, it's easy to say that, and it's a pretty statement, and it's everybody likes it who hears it. But do you mean it? Now look, now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, my God, what a thing to put in your consciousness when you go to bed. I pray the Lord my soul to take. Rock-a-bye baby in the treetop. Rock-a-bye baby. And what about the cradle will drop? And down will come baby, cradle and all. Rock-a-bye baby in the treetop. Now, this is what we sing to our kids. You know, the Aesop's fables are pretty strong and pretty raunchy. And a lot of these fairy tales, they're pretty ghoulish. I mean, they've got a lot of ugly people in there. And they usually have them coming out all right at the end. But my, they have a sticky fight going through the middle. And you want to be real careful what sort of things you put in your mind, what sort of stories you put in your mind. It's just like we were reading here one little story. The firemen were putting out, the policemen were trying to get a man to come out of a building. Yeah, here, this we read. The police spent 2 hours attempting to subdue a gunman who had barricaded himself inside his home. After firing 10 tear gas canisters, officers discovered that the man was standing beside them, shouting, please come out, give yourself up. Now, I mean, you know, that's the way it usually is. There's no competition. I mean, the police are just having a great big battle because they just like a little excitement now and then. And you say, well, Herb, that's not very nice talking that way about the police. I'm not talking about the police. I'm talking about you and me. We're the police. We're the ones who created them. We're the ones who created the need to have someone protect our property. Do you wrap this property every day in your pure white light of love? Or are you afraid that someone is going to come in and do something nasty? You were hiding the car keys there or taking them away because you were afraid somebody was going to find them and move the cars or something, huh? Well, hey, if that's your belief, please put the car keys away. Put them in their secret box someplace. Because if you have in your consciousness that someone's going to touch our cars, then you better take care of it. Because I don't want your consciousness around here with doubt and feeling that anyone could come and do something they shouldn't do. You know? Really. The only time anything can be ripped off from a place is when people doubt. And we don't ever need to do that. And we don't ever have to go back in history and look at other things or other people or other conditions. We just stay here in the first person present tense positive. And we are in charge of our bodies. We are in charge of our mind. We are in charge of our thinking. We are in charge of the cancer that develops in our body because we encourage it to grow and grow and grow. Once it gets there, oh, I got cancer. Oh, it's filled around my breast here. Oh, my goodness, there's a lump there. And the lump has been there all your life. You just never felt it because the doctor never told you before, check for lumps in your breast, you know. And so now you check. And so oh, doctor, do I have cancer? Do I have cancer? And he does an x-ray and he says, no, nothing's wrong there. It's just a little growth, little bump, you know. Oh, thank goodness. Say I live in my eternally perfect ideal, spirit, mind, and body, or even better, say I live
in my ideal
spirit, mind, and body. You see, when we say I live in my ideal spirit, mind, and body, we take all the adjectives and adverbs away from it, and we keep it just straight and clean. It's a habit to say I live in my eternally perfect ideal, spirit, mind, and body. But we've been saying that a long time, and it's good stuff. It's good stuff. It's better than not saying it, that's for sure. But then we come back to the cancer experience. And the person who has a cancer experience is a person, now it could be anybody in the whole world, doesn't really matter. Ray has the talking books. And one of the books that I was looking for Louis L'Amour books for him, but one of the books that I saw was written about Ronald Reagan. And it said, when God was president, something like that, or when something like that, when God was president, some really interesting title. It's not exactly that, but that's the theme. And this woman wrote the book. She had worked with the president throughout the years before his presidency, during his presidency, and afterwards. And she found such goodness in that man, such nobility and such magnificence in that man. And why he would have anything like Alzheimer's and what have you seems totally outrageous, totally wrong for a man who has done as much and given as much good in the world as he has. But you see, the important thing for us to remember is that the bigger we are, the harder we fall when we make any mistake or when any mistake is made, whether we make it or not. Usually it's we make it ourselves. What did he do that caused him to have that experience? We have no idea. We are not inside that man. We do not know. He might have not given someone release from the death penalty when he was president, when he should have. And he knew he should have, but he was badly advised by his counselors, and it would be a poor political move or this or that. And so he didn't give them a reprieve from their death penalty. And I'm not saying this is the way he is, but just for instance, if he had the opinion that death, anyone to kill another person, there's no wars during his time, Anyone to kill other people is wrong. I have a feeling he probably had that feeling, that it was wrong to kill other people, that it was wrong to take lives, it was wrong for war, it was wrong for evilness and so forth. And because he had that, he didn't experience those things. But perhaps, just perhaps, and this is not anything to make you believe it or not, he didn't exonerate some person who he could have when he believed it, but he didn't because his counselor said it was not politically advisable. You follow me?
Yes.
Now, that can be a cancer that eats on you. I mean, that's a man's life that he could have saved. That's a human life. Of course, he did so much good that one human life wouldn't matter. But to him, every human life is precious. And for it to be lost because he didn't do something he could have done, and he knew he should have done it, it makes within him a heaviness in his heart. You cannot understand. I cannot understand. We're not there in his heart. We're not so strong like he was in all of his opinions and his goodness. I mean, he's an absolutely good man. Quite likely, it is something of that nature that caused him to eat himself up. He didn't kill himself, but he has this condition which is rather tough, But do you understand? We cannot judge another person. We cannot tell another person. But we have to keep so pure and so clear in our consciousness, in our attitude, in our life, that we do not allow ourselves to do one thing that we don't believe in. And when we say we don't believe in something, we have to take the consequences. Like with our church up in Minneapolis. I didn't believe in what this woman wanted me to do, go out every evening with her to the bars, be her gigolo, her because I was an unmarried minister and available. And I told her finally, I said, we got to stop meeting like this. I said, I have work to do during the day, and for me to go and be sociable with you and your friends in the evenings, I don't see them in church on Sundays, you know. But for me to be sociable with them, I said, it's not, it doesn't make me happy. And she said, well, I'm a big giver to the church. And I said, well, if having me go out with you makes you a big giver, then forget it, because that's not my way. And you know the repercussions that followed that act. You see, when you stand up for principle, tremendous things happen. And it doesn't end there. It doesn't mean that you have stood up now and you're exonerated, you're free. No way. You got to stand up as the pressure comes on, even bigger and bigger and bigger. And you have to stand up before the firing squad, so to speak. And you have to say, no, I did everything right. I exonerated that man while I was president, and if you want to tear me to pieces, go right ahead. They love tearing the presidents to pieces anyhow, you know, whatever they can find to do it with. But even now, the nation that should have dumped Bill Clinton for what they said he did still admires him, still listens to him, still calls upon him for advice and wisdom, and it's well that they should. But isn't it interesting? We allow these things to build up within us when they have no purpose. All the president had to say was, release that person. And he didn't. If that's the case, I'm just trying to give you the illustration. All you have to do is every little anxiety that comes along, release it. Every little pain that comes along, release it. Every little anger and hatred that comes along, release it. And don't carry it, and don't tell anybody about it. Don't tell anybody that you released it, because that such a good boy are you, you know. And it's fantastic. It's fantastic. Today I looked at Michael Milligan, and I saw a handsome young man, debonair mustache, hair, fluffy like Stefan and Gregor's, you know, and just a real handsome man. And I told him, I said, you know, my God, you are a handsome man. And he says, oh, you know, but he liked it, because that's the way he dresses, and he keeps himself fit, he keeps himself trim, mm-hmm. and he enjoys life, and he is in good health and doing a lot of good things. And the problems he has are of other people in his life. And when he comes to the realization that the problems that other people have in his life are problems that he has because he has allowed them to exist, then he will start seeing those people clear of those problems, not exacerbating those problems by making them worse. And this is what we all have to do, shut our mouth. If people would come here and want a cancer clearing experience, and they're students, I'll work with them. If they're not students, I'm not too interested in them, because they must understand the philosophy. The philosophy is that you're master of yourself, and you created everything that's in you, and that I do not heal anybody. None of us heal anybody else. They may have a healing when they're around us, but we don't heal them. They heal themselves. They come with a new understanding of who they are. And so I train them in coming to that new understanding. And the training may seem far afield from their immediate need, but it has to be done for the immediate need to be fulfilled. And I give people so many wonderful opportunities to put new causes in motion for themselves. And they don't do it. Like one of our friends, he wanted to stay in bed and be served in bed and play with the cat, you know. And other friends, they want to go around showing other people how rough it is for them to do different things, you know. Shut up. Go and sin no more. Go and tell no one, is what Jesus said. And this is what you have to do. This is what we have to do. If we want to keep cancer at bay in our life, if we want to keep it away from us, away from the world, we don't work on curing the cancer. We work on having a new attitude about ourselves, where cancer has no room to dwell. We work on having a new attitude about ourselves, where cancer has no room to dwell. Have a wonderful day.